Hi everyone. Today we're continuing through 1 John 1, and we're looking at chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Again, John 1, 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, as we said yesterday, the way that 1 John goes is kind of flows in a very different way from other books. It's not necessarily the most linear. Now, yesterday's passage talks about Jesus being made manifest, the eternal life that we have in him, and the fellowship that we have in him. And this actually passage does connect in a sense because it talks about fellowship with God, right? And so here, as he talks about fellowship with God, he's proclaiming, he's talking about, what John is talking about is that God is light and there's no darkness in him, right? Now, light here symbolizes like purity, transcendence, holiness, maybe. While darkness is symbolizing the opposite, of course, impurity, sin, evil. And to connect it then to the previous passage, what John is declaring here is that we can't say we have fellowship with God, right? We can't say that we have fellowship with God if we're walking in darkness. What he seems to be saying is that we can't claim to be followers of Jesus if we're like in darkness, if we're in sin. And he says that, hey, if we dare claim that we have fellowship with God while we're walking in darkness, then we're liars. We're not in the truth. But what's interesting then is then a couple verses later, in verse 8, and he says again in verse 10, he says that if we say we have no sin, though, we deceive ourselves and the truth is also not in us. It seems to be contradictory. So what gives here? What's going on here? I think it's important to make a distinction here. There's a distinction between walking in darkness and sin. Now, the second part here, John makes a blanket statement that is correct. He says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. What he's saying here is that all of us have sinned, right? All of us have sinned and will continue to sin. That's just the reality of who we are. But the distinction then is that we all sin, but not all of us necessarily walk in darkness. I think here walking in darkness is more willful, right? It's a willfully walking in the opposite direction of Jesus, willfully living our lives the way we want to live, like without bringing God into it. And what John is saying is that you can't say that you follow God while also walking away from God. So in this passage, I think there's two like theological errors, if you will, that John is warning us of. And the first is that the error that people make is that they can claim to follow Jesus while also walking in darkness. And this is something that we see a lot of today, in a sense. Now, perhaps it's not proclaimed so explicitly, but many people claim to be Christian. They claim to follow Jesus, but they're not actually walking in the light. At least there's no evidence of them trying to walk in the light, trying to be with Jesus, trying to live in purity and holiness. And what John is pointing out is that it's not enough to claim to have fellowship with Jesus. You can't just claim to know Jesus, but you have to walk in the light. You have to walk with him. And that's an error that John is trying to correct here. The other error that John is pointing out is that we can claim to not have any sin at all as we walk with Jesus. And now I'm mentioning two errors. But there's two applications to the second one, right? This idea of not having sin, I think first is the first application. One way that we see this played out is people like in a pride thing, right? Saying, I follow Jesus, now I'm perfect. Now, we don't see that much of this probably, but it's out there, right? Some people say like, I know Jesus, I'm cool now, right? That's just not how it works, right? There's still sin that needs to be redeemed within us. The second application, I think, is much more common. It's this idea that I follow Jesus, but I've sinned. Therefore, maybe I don't follow Jesus. People get discouraged by that. Or some people might think, oh, I follow Jesus, now I have to be perfect, like completely perfect in how I live. Now that's kind of true, but it's not fully true, right? What John is trying to point out here through all of this is that we can walk in the light. If we have fellowship with God, we can walk in the light because of what he says here is that because of the blood of Jesus. This is in verse 7. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We are made perfect by the blood of Jesus. It means that if we are walking in the light, we've been purified by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We have this forgiveness, and now we can walk towards God, walking in the light, walking in that purity, in that perfection, in that transcendence, in the holiness of God. What this means for us then is that our lives need to be oriented towards Jesus. We need to continue to walk in the light. Now, this doesn't mean we're not going to sin stuff. We will still struggle with sin. But because of the blood of Jesus, we can keep on walking in that light. But John is clear here. We still have to deal with that sin, right? We walk in the light, we still have sin, but we can deal with that sin. And the way we deal with that sin is that we confess, right? We confess to one another. We receive forgiveness from Jesus as we confess to one another and receive the love of Jesus. We let the blood of Jesus cleanse us as we walk together, confessing together our sins to one another. And so the exhortation from this passage is really clear. Let's walk in the light. Let's orient our lives towards Jesus, and let's receive the forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. Let's receive that forgiveness, and let's do that by confessing to one another within the body. Confession to one another, it's not just like a good idea. I think in this passage, it sounds like it's essential. It's necessary. We need to do this to one another. We need this from one another so that we can continue to walk in the light. Let's pray that we can do this together as a church, that we can walk in the light of God as we learn to confess our sins to one another and receive the forgiveness of God through the blood of Jesus. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for your sacrifice for us, Lord. And I pray that we will walk in your light, that we will walk in your truth, and that we will orient our lives to being in the light. We recognize we will still struggle with sin. I will still struggle with many things of this world, but we want to every time be able to confess to one another, receive forgiveness, and be transformed and changed. Pick ourselves up, Lord, and keep going towards you, God. Holy Spirit, fill us, help us, bless our community. May we be a church that confesses to one another. May we be a church that walks with one another in the light. We thank you, Jesus, for the fellowship we have with you and with one another. Bless us, God. In your name we pray.